We don't get to say this a lot on NPR. We're joined now by maybe the biggest pop star in the world. Okay, is there a corner of the world where they're not listening to this song right now? Katy Perry, Roar, from her new album, Prism. And Katy Perry joins us on what happens to be her birthday. Happy birthday, Ms. Perry. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I'm very excited to share it with you guys. I'm a huge fan of NPR.
Well, thank you. Let me get you to talk about Roar. This is a song that, I mean, it's become an anthem already just over the past couple of weeks for people really all over the world. What were you thinking when you wrote it?
I was living in a little bit of fear, and I kind of just listened to myself, and I thought, you know what, I need to kind of find that inner strength again, because I had just been through a real, a little bit of a self-confidence shattering in my own personal life, and so I was just looking for my voice again, and that came out as a roar. You held me down, but I got up, already brushing off.
You've been singing, what, all your life, really?
Since I was 9 years old, yes.
You began singing, as, of course, in church, gospel. And,
yes.
And you signed as a Christian artist, right?
I did. So at 9 years old, I started singing. I picked up my guitar at 13, which really helped me find myself as an artist. And then from 13 to 16, I started taking these monthly trips to Nashville to be around really fantastic songwriters who helped me kind of figure out my songwriting skills. And even though they were essentially about, you know, my relationship with God at the time, they were ambiguous enough that they could still sound like love songs or what have you. But that's where I really learned how to carve out a great song, is in Nashville. And then I recorded and wrote a Christian album, which I wanted to be very successful. I wanted it to be like Amy Grant, but it didn't pan out that way. And my label actually went bankrupt, and I was left without a home. And I went back home and to Santa Barbara with my Taylor guitar I got for my 16th birthday and started working at an antique shop. And then I just had a couple of like connections left over from those days in the Christian music industry that I would be like taking little trips to Nashville to do background vocals on other people's songs. Or I was always hustling, you know? I was always like ready to drop whatever I was doing to meet a producer or a songwriter or an opportunity. But there's, of course, there was a lot more ups and downs in that story, because things didn't really kick off until I was 23.
As I've read, you've had some years of struggle. I mean, it's
some years of character development.
Okay.
a hard humility process. One that I totally resisted for a very long time. But if I would have gotten what I wanted at 17, I probably would be, God, who knows? I'd be dead or somewhere else with no career.
What's the craziest thing you ever sold in an antique shop?
I don't remember, but you know, I bought a lot of things. I bought a leopard coat that wasn't a real leopard coat, of course. I remember in Santa Barbara, which is a beach city that doesn't, you don't wear fake leopard coats to school. And I went to a Christian school. I showed up after Christmas, you know, the day back after Christmas where everybody's wearing all their new gifts. I mean, their shoes are so shiny.
Yeah.
I was wearing this leopard coat and it was still really warm and everybody was making fun of me. But you know what I noticed is that I noticed I had an individual sense of style when all of like the bougie Santa Barbara moms that were picking up the kids from the private school would be like, "Hey, honey, where'd you get that coat?" I was like, oh, maybe I'm onto something.
So may I ask, are you singing the kind of music now that once you were told you couldn't listen to?
I think that I sing, well, yeah, I mean, in some terms, because I was raised in a super sheltered atmosphere where, you know, we didn't watch anything besides Trinity Broadcasting Network and which is called TBN and or Fox News Channel. I was never allowed to call deviled eggs, I called them angel eggs. So to answer your question, I think that parents have an idea of what they want their kids to be like, and then their kids grow up and be people of themselves, of their own.
You're so big among kids. You are, you know, to the 10, 17-year-olds, I guess what Bob Dylan was to a, you know, to a previous generation.
I'll take that comparison.
Do you want to be something for them? Does it make you...
Well, I think I like to be an inspiration. I think when you set out to be an artist, first and foremost, a musician, a rock and roller, you don't come with this kind of like, hey, I also want to be a role model that obviously will let you down because I'm a human being. And a lot of people will see me as a role model, but I like to kind of turn that around and say, I appreciate that, but I'd like to be seen as an inspiration because a role model, I think, will fail you. I mean, I couldn't tell kids when it's time for them to try things or do things. I mean, that's not my role. But, you know, it's funny. I do see myself becoming this whatever inspiration out of default right now because it's such a strange world, like females and pop. Everybody's getting naked. I mean, I've been naked before, but I don't feel like I have to always get naked to be noticed. But it's interesting.
Are you talking about anyone in particular, or we can fill
in? I'm not talking about anyone in particular.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all of them.
Yeah, that's
mean,
true,
it's
I
like
guess,
everybody's so naked. It's like, put it away. We know you got it. I got it too. I've taken it out here and there. And I'm not necessarily judging. I'm just thinking sometimes it's nice to play that card, but also it's nice to play other cards. And I know I have that sexy card in my deck, but I don't have to always use that card. And especially like with this new song called Unconditionally that's on the record. Oh no, did I get too close? Oh, did I almost see what's really on the inside? This song is about universal love. It's about this higher love, or that love that hits you for the first time and feels like a car crash, or maybe it's the love of a mother seeing, you know, her firstborn child, but it's almost like a spiritual level of love and acceptance. Unconditionally, I will love you unconditionally. There is no fear now. Let go and just be free. I will love you unconditionally.
Can I give you some questions from some of your young admirers?
Yeah, I'd love to answer.
And Danielle and Eden want to know, do you have any rituals before you go on stage?
Yes. Lately, I've been all ritualed up because I'm trying to build endurance for being back on stage because I was kind of off the stage for a year and ate a lot of fatty foods and, you know, got a little plump and that was okay. But now it's time to get back in the game. Sometimes I do this thing called transcendental meditation that helps. So that's kind of my ritual.
Jason, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, asks, I like this question a lot. What's it like being a pop star?
What's it like being a pop star? It's a balancing act. It's like a dancing and running and jumping and sleeping all on a balancing beam. But it's super fun. And sometimes you get a great soundtrack to go along with that dance.
Katy Perry, speaking from Los Angeles, her new album is called Prism, and it's out now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Why don't you let me stop by? The clock is ticking, running out of time. So we should party all night. So cover your eyes, I have a surprise. I hope you got a healthy appetite.
I didn't expect you got to talk after that. For even more Katy Perry, you can go to NPR.org and see two videos for her new album, Prism. Prism, no longer just an NSA program. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.